You're not being paid to draw pixels. You're being paid to solve problems. The design, the pixels, the buttons you make, that's not your service. Your problem-solving skills are to solve a pain point for that business.
Welcome to the 7-Minute Product Master Series podcast. I'm Luis Cangede, and today I'm joined by Benjamin, freelance designer in Toronto. Welcome, Benjamin.
Thank you for having me.
And to start the show, give me a brief definition of product design.
Yeah, so I really do think that product design is the result of an artist iterating on ideas, both original and past ideas. And the idea is to create a new approach to solving a problem in a new way that hasn't been done before. I think we get really caught up in mobile design versus web design of what kind of product designer you are. But I do think that kind of when you get into product design, you start looking at the world differently and you start to be able to think of solutions to other problems outside of maybe the constructs of a Figma file or a canvas.
Yeah, so thanks for sharing that. And I'm curious to know, what's the biggest product design mistake you've ever made and what did you learn?
That's a good one. Probably getting too caught up in the details and just shipping, like not shipping fast enough. A really good example of this is a small side project I worked on called common.wtf, which is basically a super basic Unicode selector that I built with HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. When I first launched the product, there was no feedback when you clicked on a Unicode. It didn't say that you copied it or anything. And it took me so long just to build that first version because I'm not that great a developer, but I still shipped it regardless. And it took me like 8 months to get around to actually adding that feedback menu. And now I can say it's there.
Oh, that's brilliant. And what's the one piece of common wisdom you disagree with and why?
I'm a big believer of iteration over innovation. And I think that innovation is absurdly overrated these days. And it's actually very rare to see. And I think that's a good thing because technology has come so far as it is. And so I think now we're at a point where we need to do more iterating as opposed to innovating to create new solutions, problems that we're having these days and to find new ideas that way. And I do think that if more companies and even designers specifically focus more on iterating on other ideas as opposed to coming up with original ideas, they'd ship better products. And quite frankly, they'd ship them more often too. Also, the major difference is that with innovation, you really are trying to think of something revolutionary and brand new, something that hasn't been done before. And I think that innovation is the combination of a bunch of iteration. But at the end of the day, the main difference that helps you go day by day is by looking at past ideas and seeing what they can take from there. And that could mean a color you see in a painting or the way someone else has laid out a menu in a different product.
Okay, thanks for sharing that. And what's the best product design advice you've ever received and why?
You're not being paid to draw pixels. You're being paid to solve problems. And you know that the design, the pixels, the buttons you make, that's not your service. Your problem-solving skills are. And that really your clients or your boss, if you work at a company, they see the pixels. They talk in that medium, the medium of the final result, or there'd be a prototype, a design system, but you're really being paid to solve a problem, to solve a pain point for that business.
And what's working best in your product design process right now?
Easily prototyping. I'm making more prototypes than ever before. And I took this from Ken Koshienda, the inventor of the iPhone keyboard. He used to say, and he said in his book and then on myriad of podcasts, that at Apple, he would just make demo after demo and he would just keep trying things. And so I've really taken that holistic approach where it's like, I have an idea for how we can update this flow or how this menu animation can look or how the items could be ordered. Instead of just looking at the design in the context of a frame in a design tool, I actually prototype it and see how it would feel on the device, whether that be a phone, a tablet, or a laptop screen. I work closely with founders to define what the problem is. And a lot of the time, again, when you're going back to my last answer about you're being paid to solve a problem, it is my job in some ways to define what that problem really is sometimes. And so the way I get there is by making prototypes to understand what the problem is first so I can make a proper solution. So if I'm designing in Figma, I'll just make a Figma prototype. I'm also a light front-end developer. So if there is a code base that I can work within, sometimes I will just prototype something in code. Sometimes it'll be isolated in its own file in the little code pen just to see how an interaction might work. But when it comes to just the general kind of flow stuff, I'll just use whatever design tool I'm using and link the dots there and make a prototype.
Interesting. And what's the one thing every product designer should learn?
I think the one thing that's really helped me, especially as a freelancer, is learning how to communicate effectively across different channels. So what do I mean by that is being very proficient in talking to your clients, or your stakeholders, or your boss on a call or via Looms or through text messages or through long form written documents. I think if you can adapt to the environment around you and communicate effectively, especially to stakeholders or others that maybe don't have all the kind of design context that you have, you can communicate that way through these different platforms, you'll be much easier to work with overall. And I think it's easier than trying to adapt your workflow to other people's, especially as a freelancer. I'm jumping from company to company, team to team. So being highly adaptable has been a big help for me. I think it's twofold. I think the first part is, again, the medium of what ways you're going to communicate, whether that means a weekly meeting, a weekly Loom, a daily written summary of what you've done, et cetera. But the other side of it is also when you are communicating. When are you available? It's really easy, especially as a freelancer, to have clients messaging you at 10 p.m. And while some clients message me late at night, I make it very clear, I'm available from this hour to this hour. And 10 p.m. usually isn't one of those hours. So I think that's a really key part to it as well, to ensure that you have a life outside of your work, especially as a freelancer. That's imperative as a freelancer.
Thank you, Benjamin, for joining us today and sharing all those insights with our audience.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
Well, that's the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening, and see you next time.